Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Now listen to this. I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food for soul for God. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Well, if you're like me, this was one of those. The number to call is Daltrey and the boys. Hey, this is the background. 646-478-4847. 646-478-4847. I'd like to get a call tonight. I'd like to see if anyone's out on the roads listening. It'd be funny. Call in. Sing at an airport. You know, we're listening to the show in a variety of ways with the mobile media that we have out there now. As we put a capper on National Cop Out Day, where nobody opted out. I just saw the news about it. You guys are a bunch of chicken shits. What's the matter with you? You don't want to get late for your plane? Ooh. You realize we're living in a police state? Do you realize that? We're living in a friggin' police state. And you guys are going, no, I have to get to Detroit. We have become so freaking lazy. I mean, I can't even imagine how much lazier it gets than this. All they had to do today, and now forget it, they'll never change it, but all we had to do today was just opt out, to do nothing, to just say, no, I don't want to go in the scanner, I'll go and get the pat down, and clog the system up to show how ludicrous it is that they're doing this crap. You know, if you go to the link of the site there, forget the guy's name, the author who was just on the Oberman Show. He's got a book called Beyond Fear. The link up, when I tell you the guy's name. He basically calls it security theater. It's all a show. Don't we get this after almost 10 years? After that crappy Bush book came out? And all his garbage? Don't we get this? No. We put Republicans back in power. We sit and undermine everything that goes on because the wrong guy's in the White House. And the whole system's falling apart. I mean, I have to go through all these turkeys with you guys in a couple of minutes. But just, you know, just to kind of top it off, this the whole kind of crux of today was I wanted to see if when given an opportunity and you strip away all the division that's out there, all the bias, all the worldviews, all the different ways we can kind of put barriers between ourselves. We're all on the common ground of being travelers as we go to the airport. All we had to do was just say, no, no scanner. I want the pat-down to clog it up. Maybe we miss our plane. Maybe there's a rhubarb at a couple of airports. But maybe we get this ridiculous policy reversed because it's got to stop. Do you realize how many things we've done in the name of homeland security that have nothing to do with security, and the security experts tell us this, and we do it anyway because we're a package of chuchin sheep that don't have any balls at all? Oh, I'm disgusted to be an American these days. I'm disgusted. We're just pussies, a pack of pansies, as they say in that movie. You should find that. I'm in a bad mood, so I'm just going to keep looking here. It's, let me lower this down so I'll get Madagascar. Love it. Madagascar. Like to move it. Let's see if I can find it. I love when they say pansies. So I have this clip ready for you guys. But I have nothing ready, so I don't do it that way. I like to move it. Oh, man. Let's see. That's the trailer. Let's see. Bunch of pansies. That's what I want. Bunch of pansies. And it's sort of a theme that I'm going to get that when I look at these 2010 turkeys. We're really, at this point, so passive, not passive-aggressive, just passive, to just about everything that's going on. We're just a bunch of loyal frogs. But even though we want to react, and we've talked about it, we've had guests on the show, that, like David Goodman talking about how we've become, you know, part of that future shock where we don't have a novelty filter anymore. Everything's played out already. We don't react to things that we should be reacting to. We don't change things that are going against us. We just kind of just skulk along and absorb it like a bunch of lymph nodes. It's very scary. Go watch all this go down. Just want to see if I can find that little clip. It's just I'm having my own show now. I'd like to move it. Anyway, just want to see if he... Where is it? No. Maybe? No. Good movie, Madagascar. Some of these movies are pretty good. No? Let's see. Get the sound up here. I'm looking at this here. Move it.
Yes, but before you leave, I have an announcement to make. So shut up, everyone, please.
Thank you.
After much deep and profound brain things in
this
my head,
the guy from Borat.
I decided to thank you for bringing peace to our home and to make you feel good. I'm going to give you this lovely parting gift.
No, I couldn't. Really, I can't take it from home.
That's okay. I've got a bigger crown. I've got a gecko on it. Look at the jet! Go, Steve, go! Enough, stop it! I like to move it!
There you go, the ultimate Nico there, the dude from Madagascar. Anyway, a couple minutes, we're going to have Professor Val come on the line, talk about this garbage from the opt-out thing. But I'm just trying to get that central theme of, as a country, I'm just looking at the list I've made here of some of the turkeys of this year. And the theme is, you know, whether it's LeBron or Brett Favre or the BP oil spill or the Glenn Beck, I love calling him the Glenn Beck, or the frickin' Tea Party, or the JetBlue moron, or all the swine fear that came up. We talked about that all fall. You know, we don't have, or the World Series, that they took the World Series away. These corporate fiends around here, they cut us off from Fox and the cable vision for 2 weeks. So rat bastards. Anything that goes on with Lindsay Lohan. Enough. The TMZ culture has made us into a pack of sheep with no freaking brains. So everything that goes down, like right now, you know, the biggest crisis is they're not paying Derek Jeter. Right? You got unemployment going here. You got we're not paying Derek Jeter. People are getting nuts about it. It's all over the paper. They got him in a Red Sox uniform. They got, you know, it's like, this is the most important thing in the world, that Derek Jeter is not getting his money. Are you kidding me? In this world, what's going on? That's what the big distraction is? No, I have a sports rant about the Mets hiring. I'll get into later. But, and again, that's the crux of it, is that we're so freaking content with our little distractions. And our little diversions and our little soft addictions, that when the big fish come, we're never there. Rescuing me from this endless talk is a good friend, Professor Val, our pagan pal. And I think that she needs an appropriate introduction, so we'll go here.
Bruce?
I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee!
Is that your final answer?
Our service is
God! Bing, 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 bing!
Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse. Oh, and by the way, you suck!
All right, now on that note, joining us from a undisclosed location north of 287 and south of Montreal, Professor Val.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
In the hinterlands, up there with the... here in the antelope play, whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that I don't have to, you know, fly anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I was just screaming about that. I saw the stats there on Keith's show. I didn't really kind of, like, you know, internalize it, but basically nobody opted out.
Nope.
It was the national
cop-out
day.
It was the national
people
Philo
just wanted to get
March
home. They wanted to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I said it was national... Philo Goose Step Day.
Yeah, but these pussies, these loonies that absorb all this stuff are the same ones that got the swine flu shot, the same ones that tolerated the BP oil spill, the same ones that put up with the healthcare thing, the same ones that joined the goddamn Tea Party. So, just focusing on this new policy. Now, I've gone through the shampoo routine. I've had to pour out a bottle of shaving cream in the Minneapolis airport. I've had any number of times, because of who I am, I've been isolated out of line and made to do the, you know, the military stance.
Never.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost thought I'd never get out of Dallas. They stopped me 4 times. The funniest part, as I get on the plane, right, and a dude's freaking luggage comes out of the overhead bin, cranks me on the head. He has his laptop, weighs 1,000 pounds, hits me in the head, takes it out. He's playing some freaking war game on it. You know. But they question me, like, every 5 steps. Sir, could you step in the line? Sir, we're checking back. Jesus Christ. So, and because, you know, I'm an eco and I'm wrong, I kind of stick, and I hate, everything that you can sum up about my feelings about society can be played out in that little, you know, heel toe you do getting on a plane. The whole thing I can't stand.
Yeah.
I hate everything about airports in general, but the security thing, even when it was lax, even when it was like going into a movie theater, I hated it.
Yeah, well, it's not good. It's not a good thing. I don't fly,
but...
Imagine
if they wouldn't let you go to your gate with your friends.
No. You're going to
work. I don't understand. Why doesn't that apply to any other means of travel? Why isn't that done on buses and things?
Hmm. I don't know.
You know, why isn't it done on every subway ride? Why isn't it done on every cab ride? Because you can't. Everything
right.
about the terrorism thing is the what-if world, and you cannot cover every what-if. But we can make a lot of what-is and make things crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are blowing this lead. Oh, the sons of bitches. Anyway. So as this thing's evolved, and you're not someone who's frequenting airports in general.
No.
For other reasons. But
yes.
You've gone, you've probably had some security interactions, no?
Yes. I went to a concert not that long ago. It was a Cypress Hill concert, so believe me, it was, you know, scanners and so on to get in there.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone to a couple of football games and things like that. It's like, it just seems to me that, and the guy calls it security theater. I think it's the perfect name for it. It's
mm-hmm.
so freaking phony. They're screening dogs, little kids, old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Enough! For what? That's supposed
yeah.
to intimidate a psycho, suicidal maniac?
Yeah, I know. It,
who doesn't
it,
care?
Well, it's just ridiculous.
And having spoken to psycho, suicidal maniacs most of my career, I can tell you their internal dialogue is like, what? Are you kidding?
Well, it makes
not,
that,
that,
as
that,
much
that
sense
only makes them
as,
more.
It makes as much sense as gun legislation, really, because, you know, the criminals aren't going to go and get their license. They're not going to. It's just
right.
stupid.
Same thing with the legalization of pot.
Yeah.
It's like the more they talk about these things, it's almost like it's backwards in a way. But in this country, everything that seems to go forward has to go backward first.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of our kind of anal retentive nature of anything has to change must be shoved up our asses far enough so that we can make, actually feel it. Oh,
mm-hmm.
no, okay, now I'll change it. Want a fist?
Mm-hmm.
Want us to clap? How about a kick line? No, now we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I see this thing evolving from, okay, we're gonna beef up security, we're going to put military presence in the airport, then we're going to, no shampoo, then you can't, then take your shoes off, then take your belt off, then drop your drawers. Then reach for your ankles. I mean, when is it going to be enough? Do we have to get on the plane naked next? And all our clothes just go underneath. We just
Perhaps.
Fly naked, naked airlines.
Perhaps.
Instead of seats, it's just a bunch of lava lamps and couches.
Oh, Lord.
They put on a bunch of, you know, 70s jazz, and away we go.
There you go, like 70s porno music.
That's
yeah.
it. Whack-a-do. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go here. Let's see.
Have you seen, like, all the different articles that pop up about the minute amount
hang on,
of radiation?
There we go. All right, there you go.
Yes.
Sorry. Radiation in those scanners. Yeah, there's
all
other scanners in Europe that don't use any of this stuff.
No. But all the articles that are coming up compare the amount of radiation that you would get to other things, and I found this one on CBS News that just cracked
okay.
me up. It said, let me see if I can pull it up here. Oh, here it is. Worried about airport scanners? What about everyday drinking water? It turns out that pure drinking water contains trace amounts of radium and other radioactive elements. Drinking 3 glasses of water a day for a year might give you a cumulative exposure of about 0.045 millirems, I guess they call it. That's
uh-huh.
at least 5 times more than the dose from an airport scanner. So drinking
wow.
water will now make you glow in the dark.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I there's been a couple of books about it. Is it so much is poured into our water supply at this point? You know, from hormones to, you know, antibiotics to any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
That basically, I try to explain this to people. It's like, if you just start out with knowing 300 million people in this country and then however many other million illegals that we don't count, we'll just round it off, call it 350.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Consuela, everybody else on the bus. 10% of them are on antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Antidepressants. Forget antibiotics. a good 80% of them are on some over-the-counter drug.
At least.
So 10% are on prescription antidepressants, and 80% of them are taking over the, at least one over-the-counter med.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking the water you just talked about,
mm-hmm.
is it any wonder why we have nothing left to fight with? We have been pickled.
Yep.
Pickled and stuck in a jar. And that's why you could have a country that can reelect Bush 43. You could have a country that can tolerate all kinds of crap, the defense budget that dwarfs the world and does nothing. And you know, this thing with Korea, that now we're going to negotiate and talk. It's amazing. We spend so much money on defense and having all these ships and stuff. When something happens, like what happened in Korea the other day, we go into a scramble. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're monitoring everything. We got it all covered. We can't find the freaking, you know, 6'6", you know, Bin Laden for 10 years, running around getting dialysis. He's hanging out the Four Seasons in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
Ordering room service right now. I still think he's in an underground bowling alley in Newark.
Hey, he better not be in a bowling alley. You know, I spend a lot of time in them damn things.
That's true. But I think he's probably doing these little gypsy cab rides out to Teterboro. Where are you going? I swear to God,
so he's actually driving people to the airport?
What's it, what?
It would be kind of funny if he was actually driving people to the airport so that they could go to the scanners.
That would be the ultimate irony.
You
can
either have radiation or molestation at the airport because that's the
choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would you like grope or would you like, you know, we have two flavors. We either grab your junk or we irradiate you and make you sterile. What would you like? While we're not vaccinating you or poisoning you in the water supply or the air supply.
Right. That's right.
And you keep watching Dancing with the Stars and you keep fussing about Derek Jeter's contract. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we get like, you know, I mean, I'm just looking at this list. I mean, if you just go to like a Buzz on Yahoo or something like that, like you're going to see people's names like Lindsay Lohan and Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what LeBron. This is what we're interested in because we're a bunch of pickled sheep that have no ability to make a decision anymore. Because maybe if you just do a little domains with it,
if
7 out of 10 SAPEs are Philo, and I already said 8 out of 10 SAPEs are taking over the counter meds, and 10% of the population is on antidepressants. If you take the optimal Philo brain, it has to do what other Philo brains do almost all the time, otherwise it doesn't feel like it's part of the herd.
Mm-hmm.
If the entire herd is in a landfill of slime and meds and everything else, there's no wonder that I don't think it's that hard to trick us anymore.
No, of course not.
Not when it's this balled up like this. So from a female's perspective, what would be the experience of the pat down when they've gone into reporters' pants, they go inside the bra.
Oh,
they're grabbing the boob. I mean, is this what is the point of this exactly? I mean, as a woman having this happen, does the urge to meet a guy in the nads just kind of come over you like instantaneously, or is it at the build to a crescendo?
I'm waiting for the lawsuits to start up for those poor people that have been through some sort of rape or molestation or child abuse that are now being handled like that at airports and are going to have post-traumatic stress reactions to those things, and I'm waiting for the lawsuits to start.
Mm. Well, they're too busy suing Cablevision for canceling the World Series. That's what the lawyers are getting phone calls about.
Well, don't worry about it.
Again, you'd have to go back. Yeah, well, that's priorities again. Well, I'm just thinking, again, if you have people that are probably heavily medicated that have gone through those experiences, and then you traumatize them again, well, aren't you creating an atmosphere where the passengers, the non-terrorists, who are being terrified, become terrorists?
Yeah.
Because what does it take for them to pop, scream at a TSA agent, and someone says, it's a go, and, you know, one gun goes off, you know, and you have yourself a melee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting. I just think if this goes on during the Christmas season, today was one day, but if this goes on again over the weekend when everyone comes back and this keeps building, I don't know. The other side of it, of course, is that we continue to just, you know, sterilize ourselves in these radiation tubes, drinking the water we're drinking. Drinking an Evian while you're being put through the scanner. I don't like my organs. Here you go. And the pose you have to do, it's like what Oberman said before, is the greeting from 1984 with your hands in front of your forehead, like, and your elbows up.
Yeah.
I will submit to the Borg.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
but don't worry. We have Sarah Palin to help us. You heard her quote.
Well, she said, you know,
it was hysterical.
Basically, just strip away. She didn't care.
That's
the funny part.
Said,
is that hardly any of the policy, like, did you see Hillary Clinton? Her little statement about it?
Oh, yes, of course.
They asked her if she's ever had a problem like that in the airport?
Yeah.
Did you see her reaction?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's pretty funny. See if I can find it quick. It's classic aunt, though.
What else?
And that horrible laugh she does.
So
you put Hillary Clinton into YouTube, and out of the first three things says, Hillary Clinton farts during debate. That's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Airport. Okay. Oh, it's at the Haiti airport.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I forgot about those things. There was so many of those. I have so many turkeys to go through this year. It's not even funny. Let me just do a Hillary Clinton search. But it was a classic reaction because she doesn't care. And none of the politicians really care. They don't go through all that stuff. Here we go. Good old Hillary. Tremendous. Shut up. Goddamn commercials on every goddamn YouTube clip now. Who bought YouTube? Google?
Yes.
Didn't Google buy it? Google
yes.
bought YouTube, right?
Yep.
That's why we're stuck with all these ads? Okay.
Yes.
Freaking Google. Google up my ass. We pretty much at one with...
One final question. There's a big uproar in this country now about this new pat-downs that are going on as people try to get on airplanes. Now, do you think that this is necessary in the war against terrorism, or should we take another look at this?
Well, Bob, I think that we have to be constantly asking ourselves, how do we calculate the risk? And, you know, sometimes we don't calculate it correctly. We either overstate it or understate it. Clearly, as Secretary Napolitano has said, you know, we're doing this because the terrorists keep getting more creative about what they do to hide explosives and, you know, crazy things like underwear. So clearly there is a need. Now, if there is a way to limit the number of people who are going to be put through surveillance, that's something that I'm sure can be considered. But everybody's trying to do the right thing.
Okay.
And I understand how difficult it is and how offensive it must be for the people who are going through it.
Final question. My time is up. But would you submit to one of these pat downs?
Not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would?
Thank you very much, right. Madam Secretary.
There you go. Not if I could avoid it. Chortle, chortle. And Hillary Clinton. And that's the typical response. And to Hillary Clinton.
You filthy criminals.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So they have a policy, but not everyone's equal. The elite. Are you kidding? And the rest of us freaking sheep have to put up with it. Because if you, I'm telling you, if you react, they have permission profile you as someone who's unstable. So whether they're patting down your 8-year-old son or your little poodle, you have to zip your lip. And
hey,
I've already gone off on these assholes. Oh, I've gone off on these assholes at airports all over the country. They must have me on the short list. Atlanta,
I'm sure you're
Chicago.
Right.
It's like every. I got stopped in Portland. Who the frig gets stopped in Portland?
Uh-huh.
It was me and four people getting on a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sir, could you step to the side? You got to be kidding me. And in the Portland airport, you have to walk about, well, I don't know, 5 miles to get there where the actual planes take off, because the airport basically is it serves as the city's mall. So basically, you have to go past like an entire city block to get to the sign that says where the gates are. So this is what I need to do at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then those guys, they don't mess around because they have like those little airports. They have like actual dudes from like local military bases doing they don't have TSAs like the morons they have around here. So,
yeah,
anyway,
well, I'm just reading an article here that the TSA turned off the naked body scanners to avoid opt-out day protests in some areas.
Oh, they're ready for us, huh?
Yeah, and so, you know, Health Ranger Mike Adams, it's one of his articles. He says, this action tells us all sorts of fascinating things about the TSA and its fabricated security excuses. Perhaps most importantly, it provides that the naked body scanners are not needed for air travel security in the first place.
No. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're recording it, those little four-second little blips they're doing to hold it over your head.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. They're not doing anything. I mean, I had a client tell me last week that the woman that went through the scanner, they saw her Kotex.
Get out.
You know, they saw her Kotex, and they asked her what the hell it was. And she had to tell them what it was. Nuts. Oh, there's the article.
Yeah.
But, that's to me, if you're putting someone through a device, well, you need to know if they have a Kotex in or not before they can get on a plane. Well, the whole mode of travel, it's over at that point. Like I said, naked airlines. Maybe we could have gynecologists come and screen people before they get ready. Gynecologists and proctologists. You just pick which one you're going to go as you go on the line.
Nice.
Right this way for the Gooch Patrol, you know. And they, well, I mean, I'm really waiting for, like, in other venues, like they have a different scanner they use in Europe that doesn't use any radiation at all. It's infrared. It does the same basic stuff. If they see something and it's suspicious, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the one that's invasive, that has, you know, health ramifications.
Right.
And as you just said, it provides no security thing because they can just randomly shut the thing off.
Yep.
So what?
Why aren't
people freaking out about it? It's like, if you know all these things being equal, then why do you think we're so passive and resigned to it? When is it because we're just a bunch of pickled fish that have no ability to respond?
Maybe. I mean, the people let their doctors put them through all kinds of tests and procedures that are not healthy. So what's the difference?
Well, I suppose. I mean, I guess if we're going to just, you know, everyone's going to get flu shots and stuff and, and just go, you know, put up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they come out with a report saying everybody's immune to the flu, and then the next 5 seconds is a commercial for getting flu shots.
Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating, too. But I just think, like I said, if you look at the nature of the beast this year, it's almost like we hit the saturation point. Like 2 years ago, We just were so focused in unison to get rid of Bush. It was like the entire year that was what the effort was for. The whole focus was to almost like have like a Bushectomy. Just get him out.
Uh-huh.
And then right when that happened, bam, the economy tanked. And then it was like, oh, the buyout, oh, this, oh, that. And then we all started running around like chickens with a head cut off because it was like banks were dropping like flies and it was like, you know, 401ks were melting before people, you know. It became very personal. And I think 2009, we spent basically in the fetal position, you know, because everything was melting. It was like we didn't know what was going to end. What was the bottom of it? And then you get to this year, and it's midterms, and we get back into that. And then all of a sudden, it was like five or six things happened. There was earthquakes and freaking tsunamis. And then there was like the BP spill. And then it was like right after that, there was the Times Square guy, and then right after that, the guy from JetBlue went down the thing. It was like one idiot after another. And then by the time you get to the summer, you know, and you're dealing with, you know, all the stuff the Tea Party pulled, and then you get to the, you know, Brett Favre stuff and all the other farcical stuff, you're done. Yeah, I just think we're done. By the time we get to Sarah Palin running for president, you know, starting in basically in, right after the new year, they're going to start, you know, you're only a year removed from the Iowa caucus.
Please.
We're going to have to put up with this.
Every time she opens her mouth, she says something stupid. What did she say today? That our ally in North Korea? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's that dumb, but the people love it because I think the fundamental thing that I've learned from everything about the way the world's going is that the one thing that no one can forgive you for is if you're one bit smarter than them. They don't care if you're rich or poor. They don't care about any other distinction. If you have one scintilla of intelligence more than them, they resent you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm hated throughout the land.
The truth has come out.
Yes. But the thing is that we don't reward people for being smart.
No.
Smart is almost like, you know, it's the one thing that has a social stigma attached to it because it separates you from the dumbasses. You can't be dumb enough, though.
Well, you know
there's
what
a freaking show called
the.
Did you see
smart?
The show called A Thousand Ways to Die?
No.
Have you seen the show?
No.
I'll give you two examples. All right. I've never watched the show. I only hear about it now. This has like become everybody's obsession. A Thousand Ways to Die. There you go. It's a list. It's actually got a Wikipedia page. Holy crap. Yeah, here's the site, the official site. Next episode is Friday at 7 o'clock. I guess it's on Spike TV. And basically, the two I heard about today, similar incidents really. One was a proctologist doing a cauterization of a rectum on a porn star. Who needed her rectum cauterized for a scene on the next day, and he had the mask on, and apparently she was passing gas. So when he went to put the thing back on, she biffed, and because of the methane, it got into his lungs and it exploded his lungs like a fireball.
Huh.
So he's out. Yeah. Then there was the other case of the girlfriend who was waiting for the boyfriend to come over to have the first anal sex. So she decided to go out to the garden and pick out a cucumber to prime herself, much like a shoehorn, and made the mistake of sitting down and perforated her rectum and bled out. So when the boyfriend showed up for a little hoochie-coochie, he had a dead girl with a pickle in her butt. There you go. Just two of the thousand ways to die. So it's like the Darwin Awards has a TV show now. So people tune in for that because, you know what, you can't feel good enough about someone being dumber than you. We're never going to get the money. That's gone. Trump has it all. Okay?
Right.
He's going to run for president now. That's all they talk about now is businessmen running for president. That's like Bloomberg. They want Trump. So we haven't had enough corporate America. We'll make the corporate America the president, just eliminate the middleman. Make Trump the president. That'll be perfect. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always tell people at work that people who are bright and competent do get punished because they end up having more responsibilities and doing more work. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but the thing is that because of that, and I've talked about it a little bit with the Coherence Conference, because it had a lot of smarties at it.
Mm-hmm.
The smarties are getting very, very reluctant to share.
Yep.
They don't want to share because they feel like they've been basically almost kind of like taking advantage of, because the way the internet is content is supposed to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to just do everything for free. And same thing happened with healthcare. We want all of our experts to basically become bargain basement. We don't want to pay for anything. So consequently, if you have information, it's hard for you to really get paid to distribute it because the content is supposed to be basically kind of like, you know, it's always open source. So
mm-hmm.
you become almost secretive in your knowledge, and then, of course, nobody learns anything. And the collective just keeps mucking along on either obsolete or you know, incorrect information, especially when it comes to, like, choices like health care and things like that. You know, how do I take care of my kid? How do I take care of my sick parent? There's no way to get that information through to somebody without it having to go through that filter. So if you do know something, you tend to not tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we've now made even, like, discovery and knowledge and awareness sort of has become outlawed. I didn't think we like it that way because, like I said, if you could put on a show, like, you know, celebrities, what the hell is it? There's a show now where they skate. They did Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like Skating with the Stars.
God.
Right? But you watch some guy, like, fall on his ass for an hour and a half. But we used to just watch the funny videos and watch people getting the nuts for an hour. But tell me we're not living out that movie, Idiocracy. Tell me we're not living that movie
out.
That
was on again the other day. It's like on every day.
It's a holiday favorite of mine.
Yes, yes. Every time I see it, I get mad because it's true to life.
It's true. That movie's not true. But Bravo has electrolytes.
Yeah.
Are you drinking water out of the toilet? Anyone that's looking for it, like, you know, a way to recover from being around their family and all the high-end conversation that's going to go on tomorrow, just check out Idiocracy. Go on Netflix and check it out because it will absolutely cleanse your soul.
Yeah,
because
it'll be
I think it isn't. There's mean people out there, evil people, whatever you want to call them, but there's a lot of dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of agreeing with George Carlin. We deserve what we get.
Yep.
If we're that stupid and passive, don't you think that the guys that are really like out to screw us, you know, Rupert Murdoch, don't you think he's gonna just put a fondue fork in the entire country and just basically keep bilking us?
Sure.
Don't you think, like, you know, the oil companies are going to keep bilking us? If we have a bad winter here because of the BP spill, they didn't get enough crude oil,
mm-hmm.
people are going to freeze in their own houses that they can't afford.
We
there's
have
not crude
so
oil.
Much oil. I don't want to hear that. I don't even want to hear it.
If we get two storms, because they have to, they're not so much having the oil, it's getting it here. It comes up from Houston. Basically, we're going to have a problem getting enough crude oil to the Northeast.
We have so many ships storing oil floating around.
Doesn't matter. They have that oil, and they're just going to raise the price.
Well, they're going to do that
What's oil a barrel now? Is it over 100?
Hang on. I'll tell you right now.
Look at this.
Yeah, I'm good at that. INO.com. More free information. Crude oil is $83.80, down 6 cents.
What is it, 86? What did you say?
$83.80, down 6 cents.
Okay. All right. The report I saw said if we get a bad winter, it'll be up over 110, and there won't be enough supply.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's all bullshit, and it's all manipulated, and I don't even want to hear it. They're all full of shit.
They don't even have to, they don't need to justify themselves. They raise the prices anyway.
Right.
Look at the gas prices
matter.
Now.
Yep, they're up
right.
again. You
they're
know.
Up again. Why? No, no one says
they
anything.
Can.
Because they can't, exactly. So there's two populations out there, right? There's
mm-hmm.
the bullies and the pussies. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And 70%,
I'm going to the bully side.
Which one? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sick of being pissed on. As a chiropractor, In this new Obamacare, I basically don't exist. I'm a dinosaur, a dodo bird. I have no purpose or usefulness. So why stay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the profession, of course, is cutting deals and pleading like a bunch of weasels because that's what they do. But there's no purpose for you because you do not have any ability to prescribe drugs. So what do the chiropractors do? Passing laws to prescribe drugs, thinking that that's going to help them. Yes!
Come on.
New Mexico, Texas, Florida, they're all trying to pass those laws. This is their solution.
I found it hilarious. It's so dumb.
See, if we start giving drugs out, then we'll be in the system. No, you'll be the quack that's giving the drugs that wasn't trained, and they'll be an MD.
Mm-hmm.
The third leading cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the largest drugless healing art in the world, and killed it.
I don't even have an answer for it. It's so ridiculous.
Well, that's the leadership. This is what they do.
Mm-hmm. No wonder you love them
so.
No,
yeah, but they love me. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know they love you.
Oh, yeah, they can't get enough of me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see.
They hear your name.
I'll play one of these. I'll play one of these Thousand Ways to Die here for you before you go here.
Okay.
It's fascinating. A gorgeous woman has a nightmare.
God.
If you want to feel smarter than someone, just take a little listen to this. Fargo, North Dakota, please.
Alexi had the kind of looks any guy or gal would kill for. But she traded all in for something most take for granted. A good night's sleep. But every night she would have the same nightmare. A creature would appear and try to suffocate her. This type of recurring nightmare is called SUN, Sudden Unexpected Nocturnal Death Syndrome. It involves a nocturnal visit of an evil being that threatens to press the very life out of the dreamer. Since 1977, more than 100 have died from this mysterious sleep disorder. If you were a fly on Alexi's wall, you would see the bizarre sight of this beautiful woman, alone in her bed, being violently choked and thrashed within an inch of her life. But it was nothing but the baddest of bad dreams.
No.
Unable to wake up, Alexi was being frightened to the point where her heart was beating erratically, a fatal condition called cardiac arrhythmia. The fiendish little person sat on her chest, wrapped his tiny little hands around her throat, and squeezed with all his might. She died in her sleep. Cause of death? Heart attack. They say if you die in a dream, you die for real. We could only ask Alexi if this were true, but she never woke up from her frightmare. Maybe we should ask the dwarf.
There you go, number 818.
That was pleasant.
The Frightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Sudden, nocturnal, whatever the... See, I solved that problem because I'm awake all night, so there you go.
Yeah, you don't...
My nightmare starts at 6 o'clock in the morning when I have to face the world.
That's right. You're awake or you're passed out. There's nothing in between.
Yeah, I have continuous, diurnal freaking cardiac arrest. Only it hurts me in my ass. Yeah. They've got
brother.
I mean, like I said, this is what's popular. I mean, I grew up, Ripley's Believe It or Not, you know, Guinness
Book
of Records.
Fun.
Yeah, fat twins on a motorcycle, funny. Okay, little freak show stuff. That's always been around.
Yeah.
Now we've taken it to the point now where if someone doesn't die on a reality show, we're not entertained. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, I came for exotic death. And
mm-hmm.
to tell you the truth, I'm with them because... If you take away any prosperity, because money's gone, it's never coming back. The divide between it is now political. You got Hillary Clinton laughing like a hyena that we're getting patted down and basically almost, you know, basically having foreplay in the airport.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't care.
Uh-uh.
You know, what on this Thanksgiving can we really be grateful and thankful for in a country that basically has sold its soul? No more borders. Right? That's gone. There's no real, like, there's nothing to believe in terms of our principles because we sold us up the river. There's no health care to speak of. We're all pickled. So I'm just, you know, I'm asking you as a psychologist, give me a reason to live.
Well, for me, personally, bowling, eating, and
bowling.
Watching the Anto Chef Ramsay screaming at people. Is very entertaining to me. That's it.
All right. Well,
that's,
I
can only
that's
speak
something.
For myself. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of bowling, lots of eating, and
lots
Chef
of
Ramsay. telling everyone, it's fucking raw. I love that. My favorite line ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So our goal in life is to come up with a catchphrase.
Yes.
You know, long enough that the country catches on to it and it likes
yep.
it.
Yep.
And then we can retire.
Yep.
Hmm. Think about that.
Yep.
All right.
You have a few catchphrases yourself.
Oh, I have a lot of catchphrases.
Yeah,
no one catches them.
You're all about.
I have more throw phrase. I have a lot of phrases I throw. No one catches them. It's my lot in life to just throw phrases at. What? You know, I get a lot of this. I get a lot of.
What the fuck is he talking about?
That's what I get. I ramble on and I get that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's it.
Just throw phrases. Oh, my God, that's so true. I just have to hang up now. I'm done. Oh, that's
all right,
good.
Well, before we go, what's the menu tomorrow up in the Land of the Lost up there?
Well, we'll be in White Plains at my sister's.
Oh, we're downtown. Okay.
Yep, she's going to make a big feast. Yeah, a few years
now,
old,
do you do
you
the
know?
Italian thing?
No, we actually do not.
Okay.
Much to my dismay.
I suffered through a couple of Thanksgivings like that.
Yeah, no, we have the regular stuff, but my
see,
friend.
We have Italian Thanksgiving on Sunday.
That's good.
For those of you unaware, Italian Thanksgiving is basically a giant orb of lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually try to mix in a ham for some reason, and they just basically butcher the entire holiday. Antipasta, everything you would not put on a Thanksgiving table goes on the Italian Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, it's better.
I remember, like, you know, getting all excited to go to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving, and it was like, lasagna. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like duck meat or what? No. Would you like lasagna or would you like a slice of ham? I'm like, what? Where's the turkey? Yeah, Italian Thanksgiving.
Now, my sister
but,
will be making
part,
a fabulous turkey tomorrow.
Will there be pies?
There will be pies, and my friend owns a bakery upstate, and I ordered cookies from her, and she baked me up a gluten-free carrot cake sweetened with agave nectar, just for me.
Jesus, that's a good friend.
She's great, yeah.
Man.
Yep, that's Dawn's Bakery in Caro, New York. That's right.
There you go. Little
yep.
pop for Dawn. Wow, that's
amazing.
That's
right.
Well,
that's great.
I think the Antos are making three pies.
Oh, good.
And my mother's bringing some other form of dessert. So
right.
There's more dessert than food. I mean, it's frightening. We got the what's that one with the chocolate, the whipped cream? What's that called?
With the what?
Mousse. Is it chocolate with a whipped cream?
Chocolate mousse?
Something like that. No, it's the one that has whipped cream and has it like a pudding.
Yeah, that's
kind of a thing.
It kind of sounds like mousse, no? Is it light?
It's not really mousse. Mousse is kind of mixed together.
Yeah, that's kind of light.
It's like a chocolate cream pie, I guess
like
that's what
a,
it is.
Yeah, all right.
It's like a pudding. It's pudding with a pie crust and then whipped cream on top. I saw that being made. There's an apple. There's a pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
And my mother's bringing something else.
Hi.
It's really getting nuts.
You'll be rolling out of there.
Oh, my God. No. You go into a coma that, because the turkey is another thing. My daughter is very interested in exotic cuisines. This turkey is a pepper jack turkey.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically going to have more holes in it than a new guy in San Quentin.
Really?
They're injecting into this turkey, like, I don't know how many different herbs and different types of like onions and stuff and cayenne and
really
and it all soaks in. The first bite of turkey you take is like a hit of heroin.
Wow!
It goes into your veins, your ears, and your throat pop. There's actually an audible pop sound, and then your eyeballs begin to burn at the back of your eyeball all the way to the front of your eyelashes, and you reach for something to drink. By the time you get that drink down in your throat, the next wave has hit your stomach, and there's that feeling of like you've just swallowed lava.
Well, I don't want to know what happens to you after that, because it's bad enough about that.
No, all I know is last year the neighbors said that when I was throwing the garbage, like the Saturday at the Thanksgiving, they said that they thought they heard a wounded animal outside the house on Thursday night. Did you hear that the coyote that was dying? No, that was me.
was me in the bathroom, swooning, and it was echoing in the because the bathroom acoustics are such that things I do echo, and it goes downstairs, and it was coming out by their kitchen sink. I'm like, I was in so much pain because I crapped a park bench, you know, sideways. It was unbelievable what came out of my body. It was like watching one of those, like, you know, like horrible, like, you know, disaster movies when, like, the tidal wave comes through and, like, the town is being pulled along. Oh my God!
You've heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, the sound the toilet made when I plunged was like, like the pipes even started to yield. So there you go, and all that's in the river, in the water supply, coming to a lung near you.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll try and get you on again right around the Christmas holiday.
All right.
We'll do a little pagan ritual there. I know there's a couple of them towards the end of the year.
Yeah, we could talk about Yule. Yep.
Yule. Yes, Yule will be coming back.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
So, endure the holiday. Enjoy the relatives. And of course, you know, savor the leftovers.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, you have a good one, and wish everybody a happy, happy, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, travel light. Bye now. All right, there you go. Professor Val, our pagan pal. Nothing like pie. Let's see this thing.
Boozy, boozy, bop, city bop.
There you go. There's the eco exit. All right, let's see if we can find a couple of these. I got to go over these turkeys now. I'm fascinated with the show here. Let's see, there's a lot of them. Gasket Bald, Chippendale. Chippendale? What the hell's that about? Dominant Dead, Fang Banged. This whole thing freaks me out. Just the fact that there's a show. It's amazing. Let's see. Let me go back. Spike TV. It's on Friday night. So when you're putting away your leftovers, you can switch on this thing. Pipe Snake. What is this? Oh, okay. Well, watch this. High on Shrooms, a man stumbles across a furry sex party. Let's go there. This is a 3-minute clip. Then we'll get to our turkeys. I'm really losing my mind. Slowly but surely. I love this guy's voice that does the show, the voiceovers. We're in California this time.
This is Manny. He's out of his gourd. He ate a handful of magic mushrooms, and now he's wandering around the desert, higher than a kite.
So when this guy ate the mushrooms, there was probably a compound called psilocybin present in them, and your body converts that to psilocin, which is actually what's responsible for the hallucinogenic effects.
He asked the bushes for an answer and got nothing. He got in touch with his inner dog and got dirty. If anyone was not tripping out on mushrooms, Randy would appear to be completely insane. And then things got really weird. At the end of the day, Randy came upon a group of fornicating furries. What's a furry? People who like to put on animal costumes and get together for fun things like group sex.
A furry orgy is often known as a fur pile. We summon our spirit animals, and whatever happens next is whatever, you know, naturally will happen.
In Randy's state of mind, sex seemed like a great idea. The zebra looked kind of cute.
Hey, get your hand off me.
This orgy was turning tricky. Instead of a threesome with the zebra and the cute beaver, maybe it was time to squeeze some honey out of Ms. Bunny. But the cock shooed Randy away with his pecker.
He most likely wouldn't be welcome if he was just any old dude, or especially if he was a dude. You know, it's like, who is this guy? Who's coming into my kingdom?
Get out of here, you freak!
It looked like Randy would get no love from the animal kingdom. When all of a sudden, there she was. A sultry
miniature little furry in a teddy. Randy knew he was about to get smoky with Mama Bear. It turns out Randy got freaky with the wrong furry. It was a real live bear, and wasn't into casual sex with a human.
The bear looked at him as an aggressor. The bear took it as an attack, not as a game. And once they're on top of you with all four paws around you, they'll just start biting and start eating. And the worst part about it is normally they start eating before you're dead.
Let's recap what we've learned from Randy's gruesome death. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. This is a bear ripping out your throat after you tried to have sex with it while you were high on drugs. The lesson, when nature calls, just say no.
All right, there you go. Number 412.
I can't get my mind around this show. All right. Oh, God. All right, let's go over these turkeys. I started to number them, but the list is getting ridiculous here, so. All right. I'll start off I don't know if we go, should we go in reverse? I guess I'll go in reverse. The most recent turkey is this opt-out day, which was a complete tank. All right? The security stuff, the whole magosh, a complete turkey. All right? It doesn't work anymore. You know what? I don't even think we're scared, to tell you the truth. That's my first turkey, number 10. We'll call it that. Number 10 will be the opt-out day. Number 9, just going back a little while ago, we had the midterm elections. All right? Now, the midterm elections proved two things. One is that the country's completely going into the toilet, as we discussed with Professor Val, because it doesn't know how to make distinctions anymore. It just knows how to label stuff. And so you get crackpots, you know, that we saw, Sharon Engel and the other one, the witch, and the one out west, and the wrestling, I can't even remember those names anymore, Michelle Bachmann. It's bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. But the whole point of the midterm elections was not to reverse what happened 2 years ago, but basically it was we made the error of thinking that by giving the House back to the Republicans that things would get better. No, things are about to get hopelessly worse. More gridlock, more BS. See you in 2012. So basically what we assured ourselves in the next 2 years is that nothing is going to change. You think the last 2 years nothing happened? Forget about it. All right. I don't know what to think. So that's the second one. Going back a little further, we have Brett Favre, another turkey, who stayed around, I don't know, 2-3 years too long. And now, of course, that scandal, I guess it's going to sort of resolve itself. Coach got fired this week. Basically, the season's been a complete circus in Minnesota. And we're all just Favre'd out. Peter left after losing that game last year in January, out on his sword, so to speak, out on his shield, sword. Nice going, Flippy. We probably would have looked at him as a guy that was, you know, what he wanted to be remembered about. He was still wearing a stint, but he was still playing at such a high level. This year, when you see him, you know, just not being able to do much anymore and you know, all the BS he puts you through every year where he comes back in August and is going to training camp, and it's enough with the Brett Favre, with the dong shots and everything else. It is Favre. You go back a little further, just before the summer ended, we had the Glenn Beck with his big rally. I think it was on the 28th. And Rangers just lost 5-3, and then there's a big brawl breaking out. I love this. Let's go live to Tampa.
Trying to get it, Brett Favre. This was a frustrating game for the Rangers, who fell behind early.
Yep.
When the Lightning scored two power play goals in the first period, fell behind big at 5-0, came back with a strong third period, but not enough, as they dug a tremendous hole, and the final is 5-3 here for that.
There you go. A little play at the end there. So anyway, Glenn Beck's rally, of course, he like tripled the, or I don't even know if he tripled, maybe like tenfold, overestimated the crowd. That was an extension of the Tea Party garbage. You know, they were gathering there ostensibly to claim Martin Luther King and the celebration and all his other BS, and he's got a school now where he's going to teach us ethics. And have we had enough of this turkey, Glenn Beck? I don't know. Seems like the country loves him. You go a little further back, I don't know where you want to pick up the narrative, but LeBron, beginning of the summer, LeBron James was a pursued free agent, let's just call it that, much like what happened on a smaller scale with our Met manager thing, I'll get to in a minute. But LeBron James was thought of highly until he tanked that game in the playoffs against the Celtics, after there was a rumor that one of his teammates had sex with his mother. That's right. And then he decided he wasn't going to play no more. So he basically lost the series because he was so mad at the teammate and then left the city of Cleveland in a very horrible way. And that's why he had that funny commercial now. What should I do? What should I do? Anyone in Cleveland walks around saying, what should I do? And now he's a joke. And now his team's a joke down there in Florida. And he'll never be thought of as anything more than that. He's taken 7 years where he was thought of as probably just basically there was an argument between him and Kobe, who was the best player in the league, and now he's thought of as a joke. Even though he's talented and all that stuff, he's a philo. And as a philo, he needs to belong. And now he's basically looked at, you know, his image has been just, to me, just severely damaged. So there's another turkey for this year. Circling around, I don't know where you want to throw the dart at the calendar, doesn't matter, we have Lindsay Lohan, who has worn out her welcome several times and, you know, is somewhere between rehab and something else now. I don't even know if she's in jail or rehab or what, but 4 or 5 times she was told to go to, you know, these classes and she never did, and the judge finally put her in jail, then she wasn't good in jail, they put her in rehab, then she went to another thing, and I think, I don't know where she is now. She's somewhere. But Lindsay Lohan had you know, another one that stuck on the radar, another turkey, another symbol of the TMZ world that at this point we've worn ourselves out on these people. They chill up, spit them out. Amy Winehouse, where's she? You know, Lady Gaga is another perfect example of that same element. Funny part is, Lindsay's an eco. I sort of expect it from them. Lady Gaga, who acts on though, actually a philo. Little known fact. I gotta look this dude's name up before I give you his name. Turkey. I know his name is Steve something, I think. JetBlue attendant. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Attendant quits. Yeah, Steve Slater. The guy that quit JetBlue and flipped down the thing and all that. Now, he represents a lot of the stuff I was talking about with Professor Val. And there was an article, I don't know what I did with it, somewhere on my desk here, but we're basically, we're all Steve now. As the economy has done what it's done and unemployment's where it is, and we're all in these jobs we can't stand. We can't quit. We can't break even. And we can't win. So if you can't win, you can't quit. And you can't get to the point where you're even. You're just basically kind of screwed. And that's what this guy found out, because he ended up having to go back to his job and you know, get past all the legal stuff. I'm not even sure what's happened to him since. Let's see if there's an update on this dude. I know he had some kind of a legal thing. But now, former JetBlue attendant Steven Slater, hip-hop's way to new rap. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, that's painful. This is on November 19th. He hip-hopped off a plane, and now his new career is as a rapper, wearing a black hoodie. I don't know why people do this. Anyway, I'm not sure what to say. Anyway, there's the Steven Slater. Okay, so there's another turkey. I'm going to do this and see if we've done that. Okay, a little bit before LeBron, and a little bit further, more towards the spring, we had some of the crux of the BP spill, which was handled just so amazingly. And then right before that, we had the Times Square bomber, which was another situation that we've discussed about terror. And then you go right before that, you have the healthcare thing passing. So the whole year, I mean, I don't know if there's one, two. I mentioned Cablevision and their dispute with Fox. I really sided with Cablevision on this, but Fox was, you know, the ones that wouldn't go to arbitration. We lost 2 weeks of cable around here. We missed the World Series, and, you know, it was really terrible. They're just rat bastards for doing it. But that's another example. So one, two, three. I mentioned the swine fear where they combined the swine flu with the seasonal flu, and nobody took the shots, but they kept dispensing them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Huh, there's 11 of them. Okay. So there you go. There's some of the top turkeys of 2010. And looking at the list, I mean, this guy's definitely Philo. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. The BP oil spill was Philo. 4. A couple of Antos there. Probably 4 Philos. A couple of Antos. Definitely Ecos for Glenn Beck and Lindsay. Mentioned Lady Gaga, which is another Philo. Cablevision was two just vicious Antos. Healthcare, you had Pelosi and Reed, Anto XO. I don't know. Swine fear, what do you want to call it? I mean, the policy is the policy. I guess just call it Anto. But, you know, overall, most of the domains are represented. I guess that's about, you know, all I got to say about that. But just looking back at it, I'm just trying to get something out of this, a lesson out of this for us a little bit before I go on my rant about what's going on with the Mets. And get to your football. Got to get to that before we get off the air. Wow. Reyes and Beltran to Arizona rumor. What the heck's that about? Wow. All right, whatever. So much going on in baseball. My hair hurts. I guess the transition at all is that if you look at all these events, and I just kind of randomly read the list here. Brett Favre, Times Square bomber, BP oil spill with that executive, right, from London. Glenn Beck, the Tea Party, Lindsay Lohan, LeBron, Stephen Slater, the JetBlue moron, the swine fear, Cablevision taking the World Series away, the healthcare thing passing. All of these things going on while there's tsunamis and earthquakes and relief money and this and that. There's a lot of distraction. Social stress we can't avoid. There's a war. There's an economic thing. There's a lot of things going on. But when it boils down to what's going on at your kitchen table or tomorrow when you're sitting down with your families or when you're traveling to and from, look around. Look around at everybody else and start to realize that you are not able to separate yourself from that interaction. You can tune it out as much as you want. You can distract yourself. You can get involved in a whole bunch of things that allows you to numb yourself from it. But you're breathing their air, man. You're out there with everybody else. So you can't really hide from it too long. So, you know, I guess I need to get my friend Morrison out here. Let's see. I need to see if I can find Jim. Because Jim, you know, Jim's dead, and he has a lot of advice that I like to... He says things sometimes that just make it clear, you know. Let's see. What is that? No. Wow. I don't know, man. Let's see. Great radio, right? You're a bunch. Play the Hillary Clinton clip again. See if that finds it. Miami incident. Mr. Biggles. I don't know. Guess I can't find it. see if I do it this way. Anyway, Morrison had a unique view on the way. He studied a lot of weird stuff about, like, crowd reactions and stuff. Anyway, here's his quote. I don't know. It's a great quote. Jim Morrison, people are afraid of themselves, of their own reality. Hey, anyway, I need a little Doors music while it's going on. See if I can find some. Be good. Just to kind of set the mood here on a holiday evening. Talking to myself. Might as well. You're listening along. Thanks for listening to Summertime. So let's see if we can find a jam to a little Riders in the Storm would be good. Let's see. Well, I want it from let's see if I can find it from American Prayer. Because that would be good. Really, what it would be a good way to kind of sum up the show. Mm-hmm. These are things I should do before the show, like prepare. Let's see. All right, I guess there's a lot to do for now. Then I'll look at that quote. Pretty good. Yeah. So you're driving in the bad weather out there.
Thought in time and out of season, the hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb in the calm calculus of reason.
All right. So let's get the Jim's quote. People are afraid of themselves, of their own reality. Their feelings, most of all. People talk about how great love is, but that's bullshit. Love hurts. Feelings are disturbing. People are taught that pain is evil and dangerous. How can they deal with love if they're afraid to feel? This guy's dead like almost 40 years. Pain is meant to wake us up. People try to hide their pain. But they're wrong. Pain is something to carry, like a radio. Digging that? You feel your strength in the experience of pain. It's all in how you carry it. That's what matters. Pain is a feeling. Your feelings are part of you. Your own reality. As you feel ashamed of them and hide them, you're letting society destroy your reality. You should stand up for the right to feel your pain. Wow. Got another one here. That's what real love amounts to, letting a person be what he really is. Most people love you for what you pretend to be. To keep their love, you keep pretending and performing. You get to love your pretense. It's true. We're locked in an image, an act. All right, there's your Thanksgiving poems. I think I left that one pretty much. This is kind of linger. But think about what he said. People are afraid of themselves, of their own reality, their feelings most of all. This is all pure somatics. The ecos. Speaking to us from beyond the grave. He's not even one of the thousand ways to die. Although he would have been an interesting one. 1,001. Add him. People talk about how great love is, but that's bullshit. Love hurts. Feelings are disturbing. Think about that part of it. People talk about how great love is. Think about how much garbage goes on between now and the end of the year celebrating love. But it's all bullshit because love freaking hurts. I'm going to give you a little example of that in a minute. Feelings are disturbing. People are taught that pain is evil and dangerous. We just did a whole show talking about how we're trying to avoid pain of any kind, distracting ourselves in any number of ways. How can they deal with love if they're afraid to feel?
Well, because we're so somatically numb and indifferent and basically pickled and toxic, all we feel is the side effects of the things we did to escape the original feel, which is pain. Pain is meant to wake you up. People try to hide it, but they're wrong. Pain is something to carry like a radio. I think that's a bumper sticker. It's tuning you in. You feel your strength in the experience of pain. Now, I'm not a, you know, masochist, but the thing is that he's right. It's all how you carry it. That's what matters. Pain is a feeling. See, the work I've been doing for 20 years, why does someone go to a body worker or a chiropractor or a massage therapist or acupuncturist or anyone that's going to basically put you on a table to start poking around on you, right? They do it because they want a feeling back. And the thing is, it hurts sometimes to regain that, to go through the memory, to go through the recall, to go through the unwinding and all the retracing that goes on around it and get that breath back again. I've had about half a dozen people on my table last week crying their head off because this is the time of the year where you go through loss, real loss. And then the people are just amazed that they're depressed. And it's natural. It's things are dying all around us right now. But they're going to die to go back to feed the earth to be reborn in the spring. We don't hold the sun up. We let the sun set. We let our breath escape. But it's expiration. Your feelings are a part of you, self and surroundings. This is what I've been talking about, me and Jim. That's the reality. That's your own reality. Feel ashamed of it, you hide it, and society destroys it. And all Jim wants you to do is stand up for your right to feel your pain, to emote, to express yourself fully. And then, the second quote here, he's talking about love again. Love is letting a person be what they really are. That's painful. For most of us, it's painful just to try and find out what we really are. We don't even know what we really are. Most people love you for what you pretend to be. So it's all phony. That's why you have all these people in rehab, because they find out that people really didn't love them. They just use them. To keep their love, you keep pretending and performing, and you get to love your pretense. We're locked in an image and an act. You know, see if I can find I'll play us out on this. Okay, it's from the movie Talk Radio. That last scene when he's kind of losing it. Yeah, Barry Champlain has had enough. Amazing. Okay, now, there's a lot of talk radio out there. I'm on it. Okay, a lot of different versions of it. So on this Thanksgiving, as you look around at the world we're living in, a lot of things to bitch, moan, and complain about. I just had my rant, but before I play this, I'm just going to give you a smaller example of what Morrison was talking about. I love the New York Mets. There I said it. They hurt me this weekend in ways that normally they're not capable of hurting me because they held up a possibility, I'll call it, as a new manager. Next year's, the 2011 season, will be 25 seasons since the Mets won in 86. Wally Backman was one of the candidates that made it to the Final Four in Sandy Alderson's Fakakta interviewing thing. And as of Saturday night, it looked like he had the job. So I spent all Sunday morning trying not to get my hopes up. I mean, literally trying not to get my hopes up, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but imagine what it'd be like to have Wally Backman be the manager of the Mets next year. Clean slate, all that stuff, 25th anniversary, hoist the colors, all these things, and then they ripped it out of my soul. Society destroys your reality. And so my bond with the Mets has changed. What happened to me is a result of that loss, a result of those feelings coming out, a result of that just disrespect they showed by doing what they did and lying to Wally in the process, actually, as it came out in the press. It wasn't just about who they picked, it was how they picked them. Now we have, you know, Joe Pesci, you know, Terry Collins managing the Mets. I have no connection with this man And I don't want to get to know him because he's not Wally. Now they're going to throw Mookie out there maybe at first base to feed us and appease us. They always have to have an 86er in the mix, so they got rid of Hojo, so we'll bring in Mookie now. And they keep sliding these guys around because they know they have to do something to stop the bleeding. Because the Mets are just like the Yankees and other teams. Giants and Jets, same thing. They corporately operate just like any other industry does. So they engage the fans on a superficial level, and then they gouge them on a deeper level. And they gouged me emotionally the other day by picking him. So it hurt. I let it hurt. It hurt a lot. It still hurts. It's Wednesday. It still hurts that Wally's not the manager of this team. It still hurts that I got to sit through 300 or 400 more Met games before he might be manager and goes through another interview process and maybe goes through another night like I did last Saturday night, and I wake up on a Sunday morning to find out that they picked Chip Hale or some other chachooch that's running around and not Wally. And maybe I'm 60 years old and Wally's, you know, in his late 60s and he's never gotten to do this. You got to let that stuff go. Or it takes away your reality. See, you can have the feeling, but you don't have to have the suffering. Pain is a feeling. Suffering is an evaluation of that feeling. You don't have to suffer pain. That's the thing. Suffering's the optional part. Pain's inevitable. Pain's inevitable if you're going to live this life with love. When you lose it, you don't have it. You get numb. And I think most of us are numb. So I'll wrap it up with that, and I will give you my best wishes for, like I said to President Val, you know, enjoy the holiday or endure it, whatever you got to do. Get where you got to go safely. Put up with whatever you got to put up with. I don't envy anybody going up to the airports this weekend. It's really going to suck. I hope at some point we wake up and go through the pain of revolting. And not letting them do this to us anymore. But as Barry's going to say here, this is a movie from a long time ago, man. Reagan administration. Okay, that's a movie. This movie's that long in the archives, and it's still very true. It's as true as Morrison's words, actually. So, you know, listen to them, hang out with it. Kind of like let this stuff linger, because if we come back next week, we're going to have Douglas Rushkoff on here as we begin December. December. Here on Summertime. So, for me, Professor Val, and everybody else that's involved with the program, thanks for listening. And travel light in the darkness. This is Dr. Mark saying thank you very much for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. And here is a little Thanksgiving wisdom.
I should hang. I asked for sincerity and I lied. I denounced the system as I embrace it. I want money and power and prestige. I want ratings and success. I don't give a damn about you or the world. That's the truth. For this, I could say I'm sorry, but I won't. Why should I? I mean, who the hell are you anyways, you audience? You're on me every night like a pack of wolves because you can't stand facing what you are and what you've made. Yes, the world is a terrible place. Yes, cancer and garbage disposals will get you. Yes, a war is coming. Yes, the world is shut down and you're all goners. Everything's screwed up and you like it that way, don't you? You're fascinated by the gory details. You're mesmerized by your own fear. You revel in floods, car accidents, unstoppable diseases. You're happiest when others are in pain. That's where I come in, isn't it? I'm here to lead you by the hand through the dark forest of your own hatred and anger and humiliation. I'm providing a public service. You're so scared. You're like a little child under the covers. You're afraid of the boogeyman, but you can't live without him.
Your fear, your own lives become your entertainment. Next month, millions of people are going to be listening to this show, and you have nothing to talk about. Marvelous technology is at our disposal. Instead of reaching up to new heights, we're going to see how far down we can go. How deep into the muck we can immerse ourselves. What do you want to talk about? Baseball scores. Your pet. Orgasms. You're pathetic. I despise each and every one of you. You did nothing. Absolutely nothing. No brains. No power. No future. No hope. God. The only thing you believe in is me. What are you don't have me? I'm not afraid, see? I come in every night, I make my case, I make my point, I say what I believe in. I tell you what you are. I have to, I have no choice. You frighten me. I come in every night, I tear into you, I abuse you, I insult you, and just keep going back for more. What's wrong with you? Why do you keep calling? I don't want to hear anymore. Stop talking! Go away! Bunch of yellow-bellied, spineless, bigoted, quivering, drunken, insomniatic, paranoid, disgusting, perverted, voyeuristic little obscene phone callers. That's what you are. Well, the hell with you? I don't need your fear, your stupidity. You don't get it. It's wasted on you. Pearls before swine. If one person out there had any idea what I'm talking about, Talk.
Yes. You see, Barry, I know it's depressing that so many people don't understand that you're just joking.
Jackie, you're a Night Talk.
Hello. I've been listening for years, and I find you a warm and intelligent...
Arnold.
What you were saying before about loneliness, I'm an electrical engineer.
Lucy.
Barry, my mother is from Waco, and she wants to know if you went to high school
with... Barry.
Why do people insist on calling homosexuals normal?
I'm
in my house. I'm at home, which is where you should be, Barry. Hey, I'm not far away. You could come over if you want. We're the same kind of people. I have beer, soup. I'm here. Come over later. I'll wait.
There's 60 seconds left in the show. This is dead air, Barry.
Right.
Dead air.
I guess we're stuck with each other. This is Barry Champlain.
Happy Thanksgiving! Spiral on, Zabians!